But as often the case, it doesn't matter how cold it is outside. Once Miss Karen gets here, everything gets sunny and happy.
You're so nice. So well, much warmer inside.
So much right?
Warmer.
Yeah, right.
Right? You look like you're all dressed for Valentine's Day.
I am. I'm ready.
You got your big red,
lots
you know,
of red.
Sweater on or whatever. That
red is one of my favorite colors.
Yeah,
so
well, you look good in red.
You know, you need to brighten things
you
up.
You look
sometimes.
Happy.
I like
you.
It.
I do.
I like the red.
Yeah,
it's very festive.
Yeah. It is a festive color. Yes.
Happy Tuesday and end of January already.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a month for you.
It's been
yeah.
a month.
Yeah, it's been a month. You've been through your share. We're not gonna.
Yeah, we're not gonna go on that.
Personal.
But it's, yeah, it's
but yeah,
been
you've
good.
Had a month to forget.
Yes, yeah. Not to remember. To
well,
forget.
Well, I'm glad that the month is winding down. February, I hope, is double the good for what you had missed in January.
February is a fun month for me because my mother was a leap year baby.
Yeah?
Oh,
she
nice.
She would have been
really?
61 this year, I think is wow. what we finally figured out.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
Yeah,
because we have a leap year this year.
Yes,
yeah,
we do.
Wow.
So I get to celebrate 29th? Her birthday. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exciting. Very cool. Well, I asked you to come in as I do each and every Tuesday so that we can do the positive points on aging. This is something we do every Tuesday morning from 8:30 to 9 where we try to bring Karen and Katie in from Oakley yeah. Village, and they really do a great job of giving us some tips on a number of things when it comes to the folks receiving care. The folks that are giving the care,
yeah.
The folks that are on the verge of needing,
yep.
all of those different things. There's so many things that impact our seniors, impact our older adults, impact all of us as caregivers, and one day maybe ourselves, you know, receivers of it.
Yep.
But ultimately, there are some topics that are a little bit more difficult than others to talk about. And when you sent me a tease for what we're going to talk about today, I said, you know what? Necessary topic, but not an easy one. It's
not a positive
yeah,
point.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Elder abuse.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
And I don't think we've talked about this in a very long time.
Been a while. Yeah.
And I'm going to start this and end this conversation today with one thing. And if you don't have a pen and paper and need to, I want to end the conversation with this, but I'm going to give out three phone numbers right off the bat because people need to report elder abuse, and it's
yes.
not reported.
Right.
So if you think or know of anyone who you suspect of being abused, you can call the Central Midlands Council of Government Area on Aging, and I know that's a long name. Their number is 803-376-5390. The Ombudsman's number is 803-734-5049, or the Adult Protective Service number is 888-227-3487. Those are very important numbers for us all.
3487?
3487.
Thank
yeah.
you. Okay.
I have to be careful. I am terribly dyslexic.
No, that's okay. I just, if someone else right. calls after the show,
you need
I
to have
make sure
them.
I'm written those numbers down.
Yeah.
So thank you for providing those. And we'll give those again at the end of the
yes.
At the end
it's
of the hour.
Very important, ladies and gentlemen, to pay attention. If you suspect anyone of elder abuse because it is so underreported, oftentimes caregivers report communities or sometimes neighbors report, but older people don't typically report that they're being abused. Sometimes they don't even realize they're being abused.
I was going to say, they might not even realize
right.
what's happening to them is abuse.
Yeah. You have to listen carefully to an older person, to their caregiver. If something sounds strange, it probably is.
Right.
You know, if somebody says something weird, just listen to them. Even people with dementia can show you that something is not right. Recognize the signs of abuse, and we're going to talk about that. And then step in and help if you think anything is going
sure.
on. Because one of the things that the National Council on Aging says that up to 5 million older adults are probably being experienced in some form of abuse every year. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of folks that aren't being reported.
Yes.
There's a study based on self-reports that found that most common forms of elder abuse are 11% are psychological. You know, just calling somebody dumb all day can be a form of abuse. Or,
sure.
you know, yelling at your grandmother can be a form of abuse. Get out of here. I don't want to see you is a form of abuse. You have to think about how you talk to people, folks. Mm. And it's hard. I get it. Stress in caregiving is really hard. But psychological abuse is very real. Financial abuse, that's something we're all kind of familiar with. There's 6% of abuse that come from financial abuse. So that's not as much as I thought.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's lower than I expected.
Yeah, yeah. I expected that to be a higher number. I guess I'm glad it's not.
Well, yeah, but when you think about things
reported
like.
Reported versus not reported.
That's where grandma, I was going to go. Asking grandma to pay for my rent, asking grandma to pay my car payment, asking grandma for a little bit of money to get groceries or whatever. Like,
grandma's not reporting that her crackhead grandsons come over every week and ask for more cash.
No. Mm-hmm.
She's not even going to tell the crackhead grandson's parents that he's doing that.
Right.
And unless you're really watching, you just don't see that kind of stuff. And I don't mean to be crass, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but it is a reality, folks.
It's absolutely a reality.
There's a lot of drug abuse by everyone out there, and so they do come in and they ask for money, and you don't see it. We see it a lot in communities, and it's important for the assisted livings or nursing homes or even independent living communities to pay attention to those kinds of things. If our receptionist sees a grandson come in looking, and I'm sorry, that could be granddaughter, coming in looking weird, she reports it to the nurse and to the administrator because we have to pay attention to those kinds of things because they do come in. They'll take jewelry and they'll take things, and you know, you need to know what's going on in your community.
That's heartbreaking to me.
I mean, it really is. I can't, like, I don't even know how to respond other than just be like,
just
come on.
Good morning, aren't I being chipper today?
Positive points on energy. Yeah.
Well, I want to kind of unpack that just a little bit. Like, when we think about some of these behaviors that are unexpected, right? Like, if the granddaughter has never visited before without her mom, right? The granddaughter, and all of a sudden she's coming all the time, right? What is, and her appearance is starting to maybe degrade a little bit in terms of cleanliness and personal respect, right? Maybe it's coming at odd hours, so it's not every day at 2 o'clock when she gets off work. It's sometimes at 4, sometimes at 7, right? These kinds of sporadic behaviors where you start to go, there's something suspicious about this person.
Not necessarily. Sometimes they know to come during the same time or with the same person. We have some pretty seasoned employees, and, you know, there's certain traits, and I know I'm generalizing here, but there's certain traits that alcoholics have.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain looks that people who are high have. I mean, people who are smoking weed, they smell. Let's be honest.
Sure.
I mean, we've had family members come in that we've had to ask to leave because they smelled.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of opioids tend to make you itch.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who sit on a bench waiting to go in, scratching their head, scratching their arms, rubbing, and you kind of go, there's something not right with this person. So we'll pull them aside and talk to them and just see. Or we'll ask the family member to only let them come when there's somebody else with them.
Because they can be supervised.
Yeah, because you don't want to say, well, we know something's going on, but there's something going on. And we just can't, you can't allow that kind of behavior. And then on top of that, let's be honest, if your loved one's in a community and somebody, grandchild's coming in taking the wedding rings, who gets blamed for taking the wedding rings?
You guys.
Right.
Right.
And so we got to be on top of it.
Sure.
So that's why I tell people, you know, we don't have a theft problem, but things do disappear if you're not careful. So you got to be careful with that. Physical abuse is only 2%. I thought that was terribly low. I thought, you know.
How is that possible?
Again, these physical are only abuse, reported
right.
numbers.
Yeah, reported.
But,
yeah.
Well, so, but the physical abuse would include things like not being clean, not being bathed, fed.
Yeah.
So neglect comes in under physical?
It could, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
it's all forms of abuse. I don't care what you're going to, however you want to categorize it, but it's still tragic that it goes on like that. I think the thing that you keep referring to is what's being reported versus what.
Well, this is
because
what,
it doesn't sound epidemic problem. But it is.
It can be. And they say that this is, you know, the tip of the iceberg, that as a result, only one case in 24 is reported. Those are bad numbers, folks.
Sad.
And I'm not saying that we all need to be tattletales, because what you might think is abuse really might not be abuse. It may just be maybe the family dynamics, maybe a lot of different things. But if you think something's going on, you got to report it.
Well, the other question becomes whether or not this person that is being cared for has what the level of dependence is. Because sometimes you think of like, okay, well, yes, this is a situation that looks, you know, like, anyway, all that to say, because we're going to, you know what, save by the break.
Right.
Going to say, like, the question is whether or not that elder person is complicit in that experience.
In that behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that happens.
We'll come back. Stick around. With Kev.
Columbia's local talk radio experience continues now from the Bart Fireside Studios.
That's your favorite, isn't it?
It's one of them. Yeah. 8:51 is our time, almost 8:52. It's Miss Karen from Oakley Village, Miss Casey, and I'm Kev, and we're so happy to have you listening in to the Positive Points on Aging here at The Point. A reminder, busy afternoon drive coming your way a little bit later on today. We'll tell you more about that, but I wanted to get back to a difficult but necessary topic. We've been talking about elder abuse with our society, yes, and with what's going on. And you know, one thing that did come up, and I don't remember if this was something that was said right when we went to break or even before we went to the break. I don't think it's as prevalent inside facility management,
correct,
as it is outside.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it's just common sense. There's nobody looking over you.
Yeah, I was going to say, you get a lot more eyeballs in the facility.
Yeah. Right. That's what scares me.
That's to say,
it
doesn't happen.
I'm sure it happens.
And one of the things we talk about at Oakleaf all the time is vulnerable adults and what isn't vulnerable adult and how does that reflect with us. A vulnerable adult in an assisted living or skilled nursing facility can be somebody who doesn't get their medications.
Right.
If you don't give somebody their medications, that is a form of neglect because they're supposed to get their pills and you are responsible for that. And when people move into Oakleaf, one of the things that they kind of go, why can't I use my own pharmacy? Why can't I bring in my own pills? And it's because we are responsible legally to make sure your loved one gets those pills in a timely fashion and the correct pills. And if they're not here, we get in trouble, not you.
Right.
So it's very important to think that something like that can be a form of neglect and abuse.
Well, sure. If those pills are prescribed for a reason, right?
Yes.
It's part of their care. It's
correct.
Part of keeping them, you know, even and balanced and feeling good and staying healthy. So,
right.
Yeah, to what happens if you go to pick up the prescription and you can't get there and you can't drop it off and a day or two go by before mom gets her drugs? Like, that's probably
that
not
happens.
Okay.
And
yeah,
it happens a lot. The other thing, and I hate to say this to you because it's something you just mentioned to me, but if you have a doctor's order to cut up someone's food and mm-hmm. the food is not cut up, that is a form of abuse because there's a dignity issue there. So those kinds of things you don't think about, but those are, I mean, we have to think of all of these things. And DHEC is watching us, and the Ombudsman, they make drop-in visits to communities all the time where they don't drop into your house when you're a caregiver.
Right.
So they
right.
do kind of do that sort of stuff.
And again, that to me is the big, component to this discussion is checks and balances. There's
yes.
checks and balances, obviously,
in
any
facility.
Mm-hmm. None of that exists in
the And there's house. A compulsion for the people that this is their job, right? If it's their
yes.
job and they're being paid to deliver these medications, they're paid for the baths, they're paid for prepping food, like, this is their job, they do their job. Versus, like, in a home environment where you have a caregiver that maybe, with the best intentions, a caregiver to meet as many needs as they can,
right.
but they don't necessarily have the same compulsion in terms of, this is my job and this is what I do to get paid.
And that's very true. But we also, there's a component here that we don't talk about much. And that is, I don't care if you are a caregiver in a community or at home, it's frustrating when you're dealing with somebody who has dementia and they don't want to take their meds, or they're cussing at you, or they're throwing things at you, or they're crying, or it can be very, very frustrating.
I
and
bet.
That frustration can come out in a form of abuse.
We talked about last week with Katie having to find ways to treat people with dignity, but also recognizing them as having like toddler-like behavior.
Yes.
And so trying to go back to like when you were raising your kids and having that same level of love and care and empathy for them while being, you know,
wanting to strangle.
Yes, the tight-fisted, like, Lord have mercy.
Right.
When will you grow out of this?
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's a tough spot, though. It really is.
It's
so
true.
Take me into the second half of this
yeah.
conversation a little bit.
Let's talk about silent. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, take me into yeah. How can we do a better job of recognizing it? How can we learn from it? How can we try to prevent it?
Yeah.
What should we be doing? All that kind of stuff.
One thing, if you can prevent it, if you are a caregiver at home, get help. When you're tired and exhausted, it makes a difference. And even if you're a caregiver at an assisted living or nursing home, talk to people because you need help, because it gets tiring and frustrating. But signs of elder abuse, really, we need to quickly touch base on that. We all think of bruises and broken bones. If you were to look at me on a daily basis, I have a new bruise every day because I walk into things. I just am a klutz, and I do that. But if a person is not prone to having bruises, look for things that may be unusual. Look for bruises in places that might not show up because people who hit people don't hit them where you're going to see them. They don't punch you in the face. Yeah. They're going to hit you somewhere where you're going to bruise that your clothes are going to cover.
Wow.
Think about things like that. Broken bones, though, are very, you know, if somebody keeps going to the ER with broken bones or fractures or things like that, you need to talk about that. You need to have a conversation.
This is a hard topic.
It's an awful topic.
I'm sitting here right now, and I'm
depressing.
Really,
sorry,
well,
folks.
Not depressing it as is. Much as it's just a variety of emotions from anger. I'm getting mad hearing that people do this to our elderly, and I'm sad, of course. Yeah. And then you got me even thinking, did anybody do this to my mother? Well, you know, I mean,
you would have known because you were there all the time.
I was there every day.
That's why everybody needs an advocate.
Yeah.
But the other part of it is like the empathy for these caregivers and their levels of frustration and exhaustion. And I love what you said, like right off at the beginning of the segment, get help, right? Like, don't be afraid to ask for help when you feel that level of energy going down and you can then. Yeah. I mean,
you were talking about children and frustration with children. Mm-hmm. It's nobody has hesitates when they're a tired mother and say, I need some help. They call their mother, their aunts, their friends, or somebody and say, help me, I need some help here.
Yes.
We need to learn to do that as caregivers for elders. Yeah. One thing I really want to hit real quick, though, is if an elderly person starts to withdraw, if they have been active and been talking, or they know you've always seen them with their sons, and all of a sudden they don't want their son coming over to see them anymore, check that out. There's something going on. They don't just withdraw for no reason. They withdraw because something bad has happened. They don't not want to see their children because their mental capacity is changing.
Right.
They don't want to see them because something happened. And sometimes with people with dementia who can't talk or can't really show you, they act out by getting angry or fearful. You know, if they cry when somebody walks in a room, there's a reason.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You might want to investigate that, please.
Wow. Yeah.
Financial situations, that's kind of obvious, I think. But if you know somebody should have more money and then they're talking about not being able to pay their bills, somebody's taking something from them. Or, you know, it may just be that telemarketer calling and saying, you need to give money to this church today or you need to give money to this organization.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still a form of abuse. If somebody's taking money. Now, I know the people at Adult Protective Services will say to me, you can't protect people from bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
If a cognitive person wants to make bad decisions, they get that right. They're okay to do that.
Right.
But when it becomes to the point that they're losing everything, then you need to step in.
Sure.
Strained relationships, all the rest of it. But we are getting to the end of the hour, and I do want to give those phone numbers out again. And if you have any questions, folks, you can also call me. The area on aging is 803-376-5390. The Adult Protective Service number is 888-227-3487, or the Ombudsman is 803-734-5049, or you can reach me at Oakleaf Village at 803-808-3477.
Thank you, Miss Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
Good stuff. We'll see everybody later today.
Mornings with Kev.